These are the times that I am discouraged about my job as a representative and also just what happens here at the Capitol. We sat in a committee all day discussing whether or not somebody that buys little children, these are 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old kids, they buy them for sex, that we tried to get a bill through, Representative Bradley sent one through, that was going to put these buyers in jail. Right now, most of the time, they get off on probation. Almost all the time, they get off on probation after buying a child and raping a little child. And we tried to say, well, they need to at least serve a minimum of 4 years. And then we sat and listened to the Democrats fight against this bill, fight against putting these people in jail, and came up with all kinds of reasons, including that these buyers are victims themselves. This is very discouraging, and it's also very disgusting for me that they would actually defend this. And then they voted completely along party lines. The Democrats voted 100% that they did not want to put these pedophiles in jail. They defended the pedophiles. This is why it's so difficult sometimes to do what we do around here. We know we're on the side of right. We know we're on the side of morality. And we get shot down by, I do not understand the thought process behind this, but we do get shot down. This is why I would encourage you to do a few things to help us with this. First, if you believe in prayer at all, please pray. We are fighting truly dark forces here. This is not okay. This is evil stuff that we're dealing with. And if you have the ability to come up and testify on bills or anything like this, please do so. Your voice is very important to what we're trying to accomplish around here. We are the minority, but with you, we become a powerful force.
That was Representative Scott Bottoms from Colorado. And I wanted you to hear that because I want to make a point. I've said this before, but maybe not so compellingly. We have good men and women serving us. We bang on Congress all the time. I get it. I bang on them too, Congress and Senate. But we have some great people. And one of the reasons they can't get anything done is because people like us don't vote, don't pay attention. We leave them out on that gangplank over the ocean, just like with a blindfold over their face, because they're doing everything they can, but we're not behind them. That's one of the reasons I have continued all these years to stay in the fight, because I always say, as long as they're in the fight, I'm going to stand behind them. I'm going to stand behind them, even if it seems hopeless, until my last breath, I want to support them. So now we have an election coming up. It's less than a week away by the time you hear this. And so are you leaving all those good men and women out on a limb like Scott Bottoms? For heaven's sake, Colorado is almost lost to us. California is almost lost. And it's not just because the left is so strong. It's because Christians and conservatives are so, selfish. We're content with our lives. We're grateful that God called us. We're grateful for our circumstances, our blessing, our bounty. We're grateful. We love to be in God's word, but we can't get outside of our skin, outside of our comfort zone, to help people and help our country, which is also a Christ-like thing to do. The Bible says don't look on just your own things. Look upon the affairs, the interests of others. And that means exactly what it means. Not just your circle, just your cultural circle. Look on the events, the affairs of other people and do something about that. You remember the Samaritan who walked by the guy that was in the ditch? They weren't related, not from the same tribe. They didn't, you know, they were normally like enemies, opponents, and yet he helped them. I'm just asking you to, I'm trying to shake you up. I hope I am. Pastors, please, 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 please embrace the importance of this election for the sake of your own children. There won't be churches. You're going to be under attack in a way you've never been. Your parishioners will be the subject of attack. Their money will be taken from them. How do I know that? Digital currency. All kinds of things, because the middle class is always the object of a totalitarian state. They must be destroyed because they're the ones that resist. The rich don't, the poor can't, but the middle class does. And they're the ones that are Christians and leaders, and they will be drained of their resources, and you will have no tithes, no staff, and you'll be able to barely maintain a building if you're lucky to do that. I'm just trying to be practical with you. For the sake of the kingdom, we've got to speak the truth. not just about God's word, but about what's happening around us. We've got to be bold and be brave and courageous. All right, the end of that sermon. This is, again, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. One of the big issues for all of us coming up to this big vote is the issue of abortion. That's been the main, you know, issue that Christians have been motivated by in many years. I have to say before I continue that we've had the luxury of having that be the only issue. That was a litmus test for us about the character of candidates. And there was a time when they didn't dare say they were pro-life. And we picked them based on that. Ladies and gentlemen, that horse is out of the barn. We can no longer constrain ourselves to that issue. But that issue has gotten even more crucial. Did you ever think in your lifetime that a party would advocate for abortion through all 9 months? That's what the Democrats stand for. Abortion for all 9 months. Is that okay with you? Is that not enough to make you want to get out and vote to make sure that that doesn't happen? Because believe me, it will. Kamala Harris is the one that prosecuted David Dalyde, and he's still got all these charges against him. He's that young man that exposed Planned Parenthood for selling baby body parts. She was such a champion for Planned Parenthood, they gave her awards. Tim Walz has opened up his state to be like a sanctuary state for abortions in late term. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? If it isn't, then you need to think about this election. And if short of doing political things to stop this, there is a way to support life, and that's through supporting preborn, who circumvent the whole system. God bless them. They figured out a way to do this by showing pictures of babies, photos of babies and mothers' wombs to the moms. It changes their hearts and minds. It's $28 for each ultrasound. If you would like to contribute, go to preborn.com/Sandy. Preborn.com/Sandy. And so do that. Plus, be sure that you get out to the polls and you vote. Well, you know you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7, and you can call us at 662-821-2040, 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. We do read them. We do listen to your phone calls and appreciate each and every one of them. And as soon as we can, we will use them on the air, as many as we can. sandy@afr.net. You can go to sandyreels.com for more information, also to listen to the podcast, but you can do that through our home base, which is afr, AmericanFamilyRadio.net, or you can go to Spotify or Amazon or whatever your favorite podcast platform is. This week, we're going to different swing states. The podcast before this one, we were in Pennsylvania talking to Congressman Scott Perry. Today, we're going to the state of Wisconsin. What an interesting, intriguing state when it comes to voting. And our source there is my good friend, Terry Dietrich, who is the chairman of the Republican Party in Waukesha County. Terry understands so much. He's great at telling the story, and he's going to tell you a big one on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Very good. My opponent has said that he is 100% opposed to abortion rights. I'm trying to lead the way to restore Roe so that we don't see prosecution of women who have miscarried or doctors who are providing health care. Women are dying because of the current situation.
And you run these ads saying I'm against for a national abortion ban. I am not for a national abortion ban. I never have been. I believe that women should have a right to choose early on in their pregnancy, but there comes a point in time where a baby can be born healthy and alive, and I thinks it's unconscionable to terminate that child's life.
Senator? Eric Hovde, that does not happen in America, And it's very clear that he has never read Roe v. Wade. I'm pushing to have that be the law of the land. Your rights and freedoms should not depend on your zip code or the state in which you live.
But her partner on Wall Street, a Wall Street executive, is investing in big tech and big pharma, a committee she oversees, and they don't disclose those investments and how much they're profiting from it.
Well, first, I need to talk about what Eric Hovde just said. Eric Hovde should stay out of my personal life. And I think I speak for most Wisconsin women that he should stay out of all of our personal lives.
All right, so that's the voice of sitting Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin. I remember when she was elected when I was at CWA years ago, and she was the first, or right before I got there, the first lesbian to serve in Congress. And that's what she's talking about when Eric Hovde, who is the Republican candidate, this is excerpts from their recent debate, he referenced her partner. Of course, he didn't say anything sexual, but then, of course, she got a chance to. That's a huge issue in Wisconsin, as you will see. All right, so Wisconsin is one of our other huge swing states. As I understand it, it's, you know, maybe a point between President Trump and Kamala Harris. I think there's 5%, something like that, undecided, which is unbelievable to me. And in early voting, women are, of course, voting in higher numbers, but maybe by 1% only. That's what I understand, but I know the expert, and we're here with us. His name is Terry Dietrich. He's the chairman of the Republican Party of Waukesha County, here to set me straight. Terry, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Sandy. Great to be with you.
All right, so tell, you know, I just told him a little bit about Tammy, but I don't know much about Eric Hovde. Tell us about him.
Yeah, just a fantastic person. Based in Madison, so he's in the People's Republic over there, so he's had a hard battle, and he knows what that's about with our state capitol. But he's a very successful business person, self-made guy, great family man, battled through MS for several years and beat it, and as a result of that has been a very, very charitable person, has started multiple operations over in Africa and abroad to save children from sexual exploitation and slavery, et cetera. Just a fantastic guy. He's got a beautiful foundation helping God's children. So he's just a great guy. He's a very competitive person, and he's a very good candidate from the standpoint of how he stands up, with a stark contrast to, you know, the old line bureaucrat here of Tammy Baldwin, who honestly has been more or less absent here in Wisconsin for many years. Eric's he's been out on the road. He's a very likable person. He's a very Christian person. And he's been really, really a good candidate, in my opinion, a good contrast to her. He's done a lot of things with youth in the state. He's done a lot of things with digital advertising and those types of things to get his message out. Really been very sophisticated in what he's done through his campaign. He's self-funded for the most part, so that's been great. And he's just a really good person, obviously endorsed by President Trump and J.D. Vance. And, you know, when I go around the state, and we just had him here on Sunday with J.D. Vance, you know, they were here specifically for a faith-based rally, which was, of course, oversold here in Waukesha County. Just a great event. He matches up very, very well with her. It's literally going to be down to a point or two. I see him tracking exactly where Trump is. If Trump ends up winning by a couple, he wins by a couple. If Trump doesn't win, God forbid, he probably comes up a little bit short. But it's literally down to 1 or 2 points.
All right, now, I made an issue of Tammy Baldwin's lesbianism, which is a big deal to me. But I also recognize, and I say publicly, there are people who are lesbians or homosexuals who could be good on the issues. So I want to know what's the objection with her on the issues of what, you know, what's making her popular and hated, depending on where you stand on where she's voting.
Right. You know, her statement just there that you played is so ridiculous, because the fact of the matter is Eric Hovde is not attacking her or being aggressive towards her with regard to her lesbianism. It's the fact that she has a partner who lives in New York, works on Wall Street, a major trader who makes obviously very, very large amounts of money. And Tammy sits on the senatorial committee that oversees that trading and that transactional type of Wall Street activity. So this is a complete and total conflict of interest that nobody's ever called Tammy out about. And, of course, she gravitates back towards stay out of my personal business. This is not her personal business. This is the business of the people in the fact that she is an elected official serving on a committee that is overseeing where her partner that she is very close with is actually potentially gaining advantages for. I mean, we saw this with Nancy Pelosi and that insider trading stuff through the Congress, and the fact that they were allowed to be involved with that while they were public officials. So this is not some kind of a personal attack by Eric on her. This is specifically asking the question: is there a conflict of interest here? And she has yet to answer that. So it's really ridiculous. She is she's ranked in among the lowest senators in all of the U.S. Senate over the past 25 years. She's been there. Nobody in Wisconsin really knows what she does. She's very, very minimally back in the state. We hardly ever see her. She, frankly, lives in New York. So we're just pointing out things that are very clear and obvious that the people of Wisconsin really need to step up and understand. So this idea that Eric is trying to attack her on these things is just ridiculous. So, he's a very honest, good person, and she is hiding in the shadows as she's been. She can't run on a record because, honestly, she doesn't have one. So now she's being exposed, and this is what's going to really drive the left. You know, they're going to stick behind her no matter what. She's being exposed. And I think that's good. And around the state, that's brought this race very, very close. The Senate campaign committee has recently invested quite a bit in Eric's campaign, which means that they see the numbers very, very close, and I think they could win this thing.
Well, that's an amazing thing, since the Senate campaign, controlled by Mitch McConnell, has not been helping conservatives in this particular battle. Almost none of them are receiving his help in the Senate races because they're not his kind of Republicans. So that's good that they're putting. Yeah, I mean, I'm really glad to hear that. All right, we've talked so many times, Terry, but we always have new listeners. Wisconsin is a very interesting state. We were in Chicago for years, so it's like our sister. Well, they may not feel like we're their sisters, but I feel like it's our sister state. We're there so often, we feel kinship. And, of course, Wisconsin is like split down the middle. Waukesha is the largest county. It's very conservative, evangelical, not everyone, but it's dominated by that. And then the other part of the state are radical leftists. You know, communism was born in Madison, Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin. So it's polar opposites, like the country has become, but they were there first before us. So how do you read this, Terry? You're right in the middle of Waukesha. That's your county. And I want to know about that rally in a second, a little bit more about it. But how do you read your own people there up in Wisconsin? What are you thinking that they're thinking?
You know, it is it's just so interesting. I had this question from a few other folks last week. And bottom line is, if you look at Wisconsin, and you'll see it after Tuesday next week, the whole darn state is practically red. I mean, it's very similar to Michigan and others, where you see the rural areas completely red. You see, the surrounding suburban counties almost all red, and then you have these big masses like Dane County, which is Madison, the capital, which is the fastest growing county in the state, unfortunately, and literally just a liberal haven, and Milwaukee, which is obviously run by the corrupt Democrats and the old unions, etc., and they've had their foothold there for years and years and years. I think we're doing a little better down there, but those are the two big masses, and then you've got sprinklings up to areas areas, and I hate to say it, Door County, a small little beautiful peninsula that we have, is turning blue, and one of the reasons is because there's a lot of Democrats from Illinois coming up, Sandy, so sorry to say it.
I apologize. Terry.
Yeah, they're bringing their bad habits up, but the fact of the matter is there's a few spots around the state that are dead blue, and beyond that, it's really a red state, so it's a shame that we always have to be talking about 1 and 2% and this really being a purple state, because frankly speaking, the mindset of the people is much more conservative than it is liberal. But the liberals spend huge amounts of money on these college campuses around the state and in Madison, University of Wisconsin plus the Capitol, and they have a turnout machine that absolutely pales, or we pale in comparison to them, and that's where we need to get much better as Republicans. It's literally turnout. It's literally 24 hours a day, 12-month operations that they have, and we, generally speaking, just kind of start getting motivated about 4 months before and then try to grind it out over a 90-day period, and you know, it makes it very difficult to win. So there has to be a structural change overall for our Republican and conservative hierarchy here in the state, and a more aggressive strategic plan needs to be implemented for sure. So having said that, you know, the mindset of the state is generally conservative, but these pockets are very, very aggressive. And here we are again, back just the same as it was in 16 and 20 and 22. This is going to come down to 1 or 2 points. Our main focus here, and I think the Democrats are always concentrating on this, but this is where I think we're going to end up winning it, is that we have put a major effort, at least here in Waukesha County and some of the other key red counties, we've put a major effort into identifying what we call those low propensity red voters. Those folks who, when they do vote, they definitely vote red, but the problem is they only vote in 1 or 2 out of 4 elections. They're frankly lazy, they're uninformed, and they need to be knocked over the head to say, hey, come on, you've got to get out and vote. This is important. 207,000 of those low propensity red voters in 2022's critical election for governor and for Ron Johnson, our great senator, those 207,000 red voters did not vote. Otherwise, we would have the control of the Supreme Court here. We would have a new governor who would clean up our state statute, and Ron Johnson would have won by a lot more than he did. So it just goes to show that it's up to us as Republicans. The machine is the machine on the other side, but as Republicans, it's up to us to turn out those low propensity voters, and they're there. If we do that, we end up winning this thing. 50,000 plus hunters, and I may be very conservative about this, 50,000 gun-owning hunters in Wisconsin in 2022, and I suspect in 2020, did not vote. They simply didn't vote. So we have a big turnout problem that I think we're addressing. Hopefully that's enough. President Trump definitely has the momentum here. As far as I'm concerned, Kamala and her team are limping through the finish line here in Wisconsin. We really don't see them out there much, but nevertheless, we've got election integrity problems that may end up making this closer than it needs to be. So we'll see. We're pushing hard. We're in the final sprint.
Let me jump in to say that the reason people may be wondering, well, why wouldn't hunters and gun owners vote? It's because they've been afraid to identify themselves through registration. So that's really that's the reason that gun owners have been so, they've really withdrawn. And that's and so I hopefully they understand that this is a do or die situation right now. Are you stressing early voting, Terry, in Wisconsin?
Very much. We are, at least here in Waukesha County, but I think that's been a statewide effort. We are stressing early voting. I'm going to tell you, just personally, our county party has been stressing in-person early voting. We're not big fans of the mail-in. We just aren't. There's enough evidence, especially with us being in the same zip code geographic territory as Milwaukee, when we've heard nightmares about mail being lost, being diverted, et cetera. The entire eastern half of the state of Wisconsin goes through one central mailing depository in Milwaukee, the blue stronghold. So I personally am very nervous about mailing. But we've been encouraging people here in Waukesha County to vote in person at their clerk's office. And I'll tell you what, last week was a just a windfall, I think, for us when we look at the numbers. Our early voting numbers went through the roof. In fact, Waukesha outpaced both Dane County and Milwaukee County, who are both bigger counties than us. We outpaced them in the early voting last week, which is a very good sign for us. But now we have to make sure that we push this week, and then hoping that those low propensity voters and those new voters we've identified make up the majority of those early voters. And then on game day, election day, we have that same huge advantage over the Democrats. And that's what ends up winning it for us. So it's a little bit of a question mark right now, but the early votes have been coming in steadily and strong for us. So that's a good sign.
All right, so yesterday I heard that Brett Favre is coming in to endorse President Trump. Now, he is the former quarterback, for people that don't know, for the Green Bay Packers,
right.
Wildly popular for so many years. So what difference will that make, Terry, do you think? Will it make a difference?
Sure. Yeah, I think it will, and the reason is, I mean, it will have an impact statewide, but what will be really important is Brett's going to do this up in Green Bay, obviously, former Packer with the president, and that's really big because, number one, Green Bay as a city tends to be more liberal, which is unfortunate. We're trying to change that. The surrounding areas, of course, are more conservative. But what's important is that media market reaches places like what we call the Fox Valley, Appleton and Neenah and smaller cities like that. But that pocket just south of Green Bay called the Fox Valley is very, very critical for Republicans to get out. It's always a good performer, and if we can get it to perform a little bit more, that absolutely is one of the key battlegrounds to win the state. So him coming in strategically for that, and then the president is coming, that's tomorrow night, and then on Friday the president comes right here into Milwaukee. We thought we might have him out in Waukesha, but I think strategically they've decided Waukesha's in pretty good shape, and obviously it's close enough to Milwaukee, 25-minute drive or so. But downtown Milwaukee, I think the president is coming to our Fiserv Forum, which is where the national RNC convention was, if you remember. He's going to be at that with Hovde and with a lot of other notables. And I think that rally Friday night is going to be a real, real impactful event because he's obviously trying to push the black vote out and the Hispanic vote in Milwaukee, which we need some good tick-ups from those folks, especially the black males, seeing that it seems that they are not favorable towards Kamala, and they really like Trump, and we need to try to bolster those two. So president coming in for that, I think, is really strategic. So we're down to those small margins, and the president seems to be very focused, and his team are very focused. And obviously, by coming in and helping Eric, I think that can make the difference of the 1 or 2 points for him to get over the finish line as well. So it's all good. We like what's happening here. We like our chances.
I want to ask you before I let you go, you mentioned the faith-based rally in Waukesha. I want to say before you tell, because I want to hear about it more, I want to say that Waukesha, of course, a very familiar place to me, and it was the home of the founding ministry of Jill and Stuart Briscoe. Some of you may not know who that is, but they were extremely central to the growth of intellectually evangelicalism, I would say. They're brilliant people from Great Britain, and their story is phenomenal, and they started a huge church there. And I think that's had a tremendous, maybe you could argue with me, Terry, but it seems to me they've had a ripple effect. They planted in Waukesha from Great Britain, which is funny,
right.
And they've had tremendous impact. So tell us about that rally. I really want to know what happened.
Yeah, it was really neat. JD Vance was up in Green Bay at the Packer game, and pressing the flesh out in the parking lots and whatnot, which he does, just very personal. I personally, you know, Waukesha County had not really met him. Obviously, we'd seen him on all of the national stages, and obviously got a taste when he was here for the RNC convention, but he hadn't been here before. So this was really a timely kind of confirmation to Waukesha County that our faith-based vice presidential candidate is really attuned to connecting with the faith-based community. So that was just fantastic. It was an airport hangar out at our main airport here in Waukesha. Really, really nicely done. He flew down from Green Bay and came in, and literally for 45 minutes, he talked specifically about his faith. and his belief in his faith and his belief in the American people's belief in faith, and talked about, you know, in some cases the prejudice and the torment that our Christians have been going through, not only in the United States but around the world. So it was a very impactful event, and Eric Hovde spoke just before him and touched exactly on his faith and what got him through those difficult times with multiple sclerosis, and what he felt compelled to do as a result, Christian-wise, to get out in the world and try to help children, etc. So it was really a great rally. People had a chance to finally touch and feel J.D. Vance and see the sincerity of this young man. He's just great. I think he's a really good compliment to the president, and you just feel it when you're with him, that he's very faith-oriented. And so it was a really good rally. I'd say it was fairly short, about an hour and 20 minutes, and then he was on his way. But it was very impactful, and I think it really kind of sealed the deal here in Waukesha. As a result, we've had about 7 weeks now that our headquarters here at the Republican Party, we have had 3 times a week, we've had callers literally come in, probably 20 to 30 calls at a time. We've made over 10,000 calls in Waukesha and around the state to Christians and Catholics in particular, urging them, you can't stay home. You must vote. It is your moral right and duty to get out and vote in this election. So I think that's going to be very impactful, and that continues to grow here. This last week, we're going to just be literally calling hundreds of thousands of Christians and urging them to vote. So there's a very, very big movement here. Obviously, Sandy, you know, we have some very large mega churches here, and it looks like those pastors are not, you know, they're coming out now and being a little less neutral in the circumstance, and they are really urging people to practice their faith and get out and vote. So I like what we're doing with the whole faith-based community here. I'd say we're much more aggressive than we were in 2020, and I think that's going to pay dividends.
Oh, that's a great example. I think that you're giving a great example to churches and pastors around the country. And I want to say, one thing I want to clarify is that J.D. Vance's faith, and when we talk about faith in this country, it can mean anything. You know that. It could be spirits or spiritism or something. But I've heard him speak recently and be very vocal about his Christian faith, which I didn't know for sure. I know he was raised, his grandma, he always talks about his nana, whatever he calls her, his granny, was a Christian, a mixed, you know, behavior, but a strong Christian. And that's where he heard it. And so it's his Christian faith, to be specific to those of you listening. It's been pretty impressive and exciting and encouraging, all of that in the same package. Terry Dietrich, chairman of the Republican Party of Waukesha County. It's always a privilege to talk to you, Terry. You always inspire me. You inspire me by your hard work, your ability to organize, your constant passion for what's right. And I just appreciate that. And you are a great example to all of us across the country. So thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. God bless you. Please, everyone, pray for Wisconsin. We need this. It is so close. We need your prayers.
Yes. Okay. We echo that. Terry Dietrich. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
When a woman considering abortion searches to end her baby's life, preborn is there. The power of the ultrasound combined with God's love doubles a baby's chance of life. One ultrasound is just $28 and five are $140. If you would care to help, I know many of you do faithfully. If you're a first-time listener, first-time donor, whatever you can give is a wonderful thing. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
We lost so many great people in the military. You know, they have a hard time getting people in the military. We lost so many great people because of the vaccine. If you want the vaccine or if you don't want the vaccine, but you can't be forced to take it. And if you don't take it, you're going to lose your job. And we lost a lot of people. So, you know, we're talking already about that, where they come back and they get their full back pay, et cetera, et cetera. So we're talking about that. Thank you.
All right, Sandy Rios, back with you. Well, of course, that's President Trump, and that's music to my ears. I remember many of you contacted me during those horrible vaccine days, just desperate to get some help because you had families, you didn't want to get vaccinated, you understood the dangers. And it's just because President Trump was the one who initiated that whole, well, with the help of Dr. Fauci, President Trump just wanted to find a solution to COVID. We're seeing people drop dead in the streets. At least that's the videos we were shown early on. One wonders about that too, right? So President Trump, you know, the businessman that he is, you know, established a system, get the vaccine, but it wasn't a vaccine. How did he know? He didn't know. He was trusting, you know, Fauci. And so we ended up with a vaccine that was not a vaccine and that did terrible damage. But I don't blame President Trump for that. There's no way he could have known about all of that. As in so many other issues, he got terrible advice, this time deadly advice. And I'm thrilled to hear him say that he would reinstate military people who got, or, you know, either were forced out or left because of the vaccine. That's good news to all of us because the military is in bad shape. Well, there's another reason why the military is in bad shape. It's because of people like General John Kelly and General Mark Milley, both serving in the Trump administration and both, as they did while they were serving him, stabbing him in the back right now for the campaign. Most recently, John Kelly came out, as you know, and said that President Trump was a loved Hitler. It's unbelievable. And before I bring Bruce into the conversation, let me remind you or tell you that both John Kelly and General Milley undermined President Trump. They betrayed him while they were there serving him. Remember Milley, his complaints about going over to that St. John's Church across from the White House during this terrible Antifa Black Lives Matter, I guess I would call that a riot. They were fighting in the streets in front of under the White House. So President Trump walks out, holds up his Bible at St. John's and said, basically indicates this is what we're missing. And Milley was totally, he did a press conference, made an announcement that he would never have done that. That was wrong. Oh, that's among just the most innocent things he did. John Kelly reported a lot of things about President Trump conversations that others in the room said never happened, that he never said. So they both undermined their president. That's treason. It used to be treason. It's still treason. Okay, so Bruce, my husband, former FBI agent, former Cook County prosecutor in Chicago, you're reading about that. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, John Kelly has made many accusations, some of them sort of general in nature, so that he can try to tar President Trump as unfit for duty, lacking in specifics, I would say, in many cases. And even when he does provide specifics, as you just mentioned, there have been overwhelming numbers of people that witnessed the same occurrences that Kelly is speaking about and said, what Kelly said, it never happened, or that it's just an outright lie.
Was that,
or
like,
it didn't happen as the way he said it?
You remember when President Trump was on the anniversary of D-Day, and he was in Europe at that 50th or 60th celebration, whatever it was, and they said that he wouldn't go to that cemetery in France, I think, because he disrespected or he said something terrible about the soldiers.
Yeah, this story keeps getting perpetuated by Biden and other people like Milley, saying that President Trump wouldn't go to the American cemetery in France when he was there to commemorate D-Day. And
it was weather-related.
And what happened is the Secret Service, between the weather and the logistics, told President Trump, this is going to be a complete disruption of this commemoration, and it will become all about you, because everything else that's going to scheduled to go on is going to be disrupted. And I think Trump said, okay, I do not want to do that. And his changing of his mind was turned into this story by several people that Trump was disrespecting our troops and didn't want to go because he didn't want to get wet or didn't want to get his hair wet. I mean, just a ridiculous twisting. And so that will give you an idea of the veracity of these people, I think, that are accusing Donald Trump of being unfit for duty.
Okay, so that the thing that's being used against him now with, you know, commentators and Kamala and Joe Biden, when he could put two words together, or three, is that all these generals and people that served with him are coming out telling the truth and we have to listen to them. But there's another story, because there's, first of all, John Kelly was his chief of staff. President Trump fired him, and he also fired Milley. So, but now we have another story, I believe, that kind of adds to that.
We certainly do. In response, I think many of the military generals and admirals that are retired, they see what's happening to this country, and they see what has happened to the military under Joe Biden, and they saw how it was treated under President Trump. And, you know, military people tend to be like law enforcement people. For the most part, you keep your mouth shut, and you just go with the program until things get to a point where you just feel like, you know what, this is spiraling out of control. And I think that's the point we've reached, because more than 200 retired admirals and generals under an organization called Flag Officers for America have written an endorsement letter. And in that letter, they talk about two things: the threat of a further Harris-Waltz administration, and the advantages of having a second Donald Trump administration. And they are endorsing President Trump for president. And it's based, again, upon facts that they see that the Biden administration, of which Kamala Harris is the number two person, have been terrible for the military. And so they wrote this letter, and what they said is, let me quote it: "The undersigned retired generals and admirals are endorsing Donald J. Trump for president in 2024 because he is a proven leader who will secure our border, repulse our adversaries, revitalize our economy, and keep America safe and strong." That's how they open the letter.
Yeah, that's great. And, of course, I wonder how much press that'll get. Probably not much. And I, you know, back to Arizona, you always say, and before I start this, if any of you listen to Bruce and I over the years, you know that we really support the military. Our dads were World War II veterans, and we have great respect. But as we know, and hopefully you've figured out, not everyone in the military is worthy of respect. And through the years, between Clinton and Obama, through the ranks, have come terrible people. That's all I can say. I asked a good friend who I will not quote, but he said this to me several years ago. I said, "Sir, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, are there any chiefs there, any heads of the military, of all the branches, are there any that you think you can trust?" And he paused for a minute and he said, "No." And that was years ago. So I'm just telling you. So Milley and Kelly are from that batch. And in Arizona, John McCain was from that batch. Now, I know a lot of you think he was a war hero. Sometime I'll do another show on this, but I can tell you that he was not. He was a burnout, bust out. His dad was a naval commander, was a real hero. And John McCain was like these are my words, okay? Like a spoiled brat who, you know, crashed a ship when he was in pilot training for a stupid reason. When he was captured, yes, he was injured, and certainly that's something to be respect, I suppose, that you've been injured and then captured and in captivity. But he cooperated with the enemy. You should hear the people that served with him talk about him. They used to call me on the air in Chicago. You know, they were really heated because John McCain turned out to be. I remember one of them told me that when they finally got back after being a POW, he and his they were in their uniforms. They'd gotten off the plane, or they'd been cleaned up, I suppose, and they were prepared. They'd spent a few days recovering. They were going to see their wives, and they went into a waiting room, and this man standing beside John McCain. John leaned over. He hadn't seen his wife in many years, and he said, basically, look how fat she's gotten, about his wife. Well, he ended up shortly after that leaving her for Cindy McCain. And so I'm just telling you, that's the kind of person he was. There, you can read it, maybe. I'm not sure you can read about it, but he's in Arizona, and there's this notion that he's some kind of a champion. And now John did so much damage to Arizona. His family did so much damage. They still are. Cindy, his wife, is on the far left, even though she poses as a Republican. And I didn't even get into that with Jake, but they have thwarted so many strong conservative candidates in Arizona because of the machine they've built through the years. So I'll just tell you one last thing. I remember right after John McCain lost the presidency to Barack Obama, he did a long piece where he said he intended to use all of the money he had from his war chest campaign to defeat conservatives. So that was John McCain, military. I'm trying to paint a picture for you that not everybody that says they're military or have an official position is a good person or cares about this country. So now we know John Kelly and General Milley certainly don't. They care about themselves, and let's just hope and pray that what they represent does not prevail in this election coming up. Honey, thank you for joining me.
It was my pleasure. Yeah, I'm glad to be back.
Thank you, honey. Glad to have you back. As we close out today, I want to thank our sponsors. Timothy Plan, by the way, is where you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy, or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. You can call us at 662-821-2040. You can send us an email at Sandy. Maybe some of you in the military who are mad at me, send me an email, sandy@afr.net, or you can find us on any podcast platform, including afr.net, Apple, Spotify, all the rest of them, Amazon. And you can also listen if you go to sandyrios.com. Well, I hope you enjoyed Terry Dietrich, the chairman of the Waukesha Republican Party, his insights on what's happening in Wisconsin. When you see commentators, you never know where they're coming from, but we know exactly where Terry's coming from. And I so appreciate his time always. And I hope you did too on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.